I want to tell the story, and I'm going to tell the story by reading a lot of it for us, because I want us to understand exactly what was going on in the heart of Christ with his friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, and to find out from the scripture, you know, what the meaning was of the Sanhedrin and all saying, or Caiaphas and all of that crew, wanting to make certain that Jesus is put to death through that walk. I want you to notice in Scripture what went on for that week on Wednesday. Everyone wants to know that they matter. Everybody on this planet longs for the significance and security of life, correct? Now you think of this, as they were walking, as when you will see with Jesus also, remember, walking through the town, walking to his death, and people, some were weeping because, and many though that were spitting and throwing objects at him. Jesus made the following six statements. You've heard me preach on those before, explaining to us two very crucial things: who he is and who we can become. This is a lesson: who Jesus is, and in who Jesus is, and because of who Jesus is, you and I can become. They're known as the I am statements. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the good shepherd. I am the bread of life. I am the door. I am the vine. I am the light of the world. When light appears, there is no darkness. In darkness, you cannot see where we're going. And Jesus is saying to each one of us, I am the light of the world. You will not fall when you follow my light. I am the I am. Remember Moses saying, but Lord, who should I say is sending me? Tell them that I am has sent you. These six sayings is the secret to significance and true security. Now, when I'm talking about significance and security, without Easter, without the cross, without the resurrection, you and I would be without hope. We would not even be able to have a glimmer of hope. But in the light of Christ, not only do we have hope, we see victory through his story. That's why I say you must tell the stories. The story is so very important. But the story of that final week and up to the crucifixion and the resurrection, that story can be told in a multiplicity of different ways. They're because that story is the story of our life. That story of Jesus in that final week tells the story concerning each one of us. The most famous funeral, this gets back to Mary and Martha, the most famous funeral in history took place in the village of Bethany for a man named Lazarus. Mary and Martha had sent word to Jesus. Remember the story, I'm going to tell you again. Mary and Martha sent word to Jesus. Lord, the one you love is sick. The one you love is hurting. When Jesus got the word that the one he loved, coming from Mary and Martha, that he was sick and even possibly dying, Jesus stayed where he was and did not immediately go. Now, people would read into that whatever they wanted to in those days, just like they read into the scripture today. But Jesus had a different idea than the people who were there. Folks, Jesus was getting ready, and he knew throughout his whole ministry what it would come to. It would come to the cross. And he knew also it would come to the resurrection. And he was ready and willing to go to that cross. But Mary and Martha, after sending the word to Jesus, can you imagine how their heart had fallen? Well, it's been 2 days. Where's Jesus? It's been 3 days. Where is he? It's been 4 days. Does Jesus not truly love his great friend, our brother, Lazarus? And does he not love us anymore? Jesus had healed many, many. He did not heal all. He healed many of the individuals that were brought before him. He cast out the demons. He made a lame walk and the blind to see. And Lazarus, his best friend, is dying. Here's the lessons I want us to learn from the life of Lazarus. Number one, God will guide me when I need direction. Jesus says to his disciples, now let me tell you why he's having to say that. That's in John 11:14. Jesus is saying Lazarus is dead. Okay, here's what he had told them to begin with. Our friend Lazarus, he's sleeping. Well, Lord, don't you think that we ought to leave him alone? Let him get his rest now that he's sleeping? And they kept at it that way until, I'll tell you, Sunday, I think it is, why they did not want to go to see Lazarus. But Jesus knew what was going on, and he told them, Lazarus is dead. He finally had to get it across. You boys just don't get it. I keep trying to let you see what I see. I mean, Lazarus is dead. They weren't really willing to follow him because Lazarus was just sick. But when Lazarus is dead, then they said, then let us go and die with him. But that's one of the most devastating statements. I may have told you all this in the past. I remember doing some kind of sermon focusing on it. But the devastating statement you'll ever hear in your life about someone, because no matter whoever matters to us in our life, and someone says they're dead, we just sink. We have that sinking feeling. I'll never forget those same words. When my mother woke me up between 2 and 3 a.m. on June 5th, 1952, and said, your daddy is dead. Even that very phrase sounds cold to us. Your daddy is dead. What can you do at 6 years old? You have heard that death is so final, and your daddy is dead. Death is public enemy number one. Is it not the one that everyone wants to stay away from? I want to go to heaven. I just don't want to go now. All of those type of statements. Death has a tone to it, to the point that when we hear it, we just get chilled all over. It's just something that completely devastates us, and we'll do anything we can to avoid it. Our natural defenses will do anything it can to avoid death or getting hurt. Your reflexes, you put up your hand to the guy that had the knife or the gun, and as you put up your hand, they shoot. But you think from the defensive standpoint, you have to defend yourself against harm, especially that of death. Every one of us are going to die. It's inevitable. One day we will wake up and we will be in heaven. We'll be in our eternal resting place. The fact of death is always certain. Only the date of death is uncertain. Now listen to this. Ecclesiastes 8, verse 8. None of us can hold back our spirit from departing. None of us has the power to prevent the day of our death. There is no escaping the obligation that dark battle is going to reveal to us. It's going to happen. Psalm 89, verse 48. No one can live forever. He's talking about physically. All will die and no one can escape the power of the grave. But now you listen to that cry that was coming out from David. And yet you will hear just the opposite coming out from the tomb on that first Easter morning. For death was inevitable. Death is certain. And all of them looked at it. And all they could say is, this is what the scriptures tell us, the prophets of old and all. When Jesus came, he spoke nothing like any of the other prophets or anyone. When he spoke, he had authority in his words. Authority that they had never heard before. So Jesus, you and I realizing, being the Son of God, knowing what's getting ready to happen, he stood with authority to the point that he said, now I've conquered. So what they understood during the day Jesus was here and prior was that everyone was going to die. And death and the grave would, you know, grave would hold a victory. Death would have the sting. You remember? When Jesus came, he conquered. He conquered that imprisonment. He conquered that sting. He conquered for you and me so that you and I would never have to see death. That is what the prophets had proclaimed from the beginning. One day the ultimate Savior is coming, the Lamb of God. And when the Lamb of God comes, the Lamb of God will deliver us from death. And yet all in that era said, no, they're still dying. And the Holy Spirit of God saying, no, they're not dying. They're leaving the body. I cannot enter heaven unless I'm out of this body. Because the body is filth. The body is evil. God says it. So therefore he sent his Son. So that you and I could get a good wash job within our bloodstream. We could have that blood that makes us white as snow. And God said, conquer death. Death is not something to be conquered in the future. Death has already been conquered through Christ. Everything that relates to us has been done through Christ. And the last thing would be conquer death. And Jesus said, he died so that he could conquer death. And we keep thinking that somewhere along the line that later on when Jesus comes, he will conquer death. You and I will never leave the body that he's given us ever again. That glorified body will last throughout eternity. But the story is As Jesus walked, so few truly believed. They had an idea. Well, Jesus would never lie to us, but it would take faith. And yet we have a story of the three of his closest friends. His closest friends thinking there was no hope. Do you know that most refuse to think about death? Did you ever think about that? 60% of Americans don't even have a will. 60%. Well, let me give you a little advice. I'd make one. Because if you don't have a will, the government will take care of whatever you will. Have a will. Well, not only see in a sense in a will, I'm not leaving. Jackie Gleason, but it was the comedian, Jack Benny. They said, Jack, who's going to take your place when you're gone? He said, nobody, I'm not leaving. But he did. But there's where the individual who thinks of death most often is the individual who is blessed with the reality that death has no authority. The fool hides from the thought of death, and they are looking for just the moment of time in history. We will experience the force of death. Martha is obviously upset with Jesus in a very curt fashion. She said in John 11:21, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. The presence of death does not mean the absence of God. Do you hear people say that today? Well, why? He's such a good man and he's such a good woman. Why would God take them? Where was God when all the children were destroyed in the shooting? Where was God? And all of these foolish questions continue. And the answer is still the same. He's right in the middle of it. Taking his children so they wouldn't hurt. Because he loved them. So anytime you're in the presence of death, you need to understand that does not mean the absence of God. Over the years, with all the funerals that I've participated in, the services, there is never a service like any others. Each service is unique. It's one thing I told folks, or young preachers and all, that was coming and say, well, how do I do this wedding and how do I do the funeral? I said, you remember something. Nobody knows how it's supposed to be done anyway. So therefore, whatever you do at a wedding, that's fine. And whatever you do at a funeral, that's fine too, because nobody knows what you're supposed to do. And God says, I've already done it. Larry, they're going to put your body back down there. Yeah, I've often wondered. Of course, I'll be gone when my body falls. Did you ever stop to think, man, that would be cool if the Lord let me come back and see the funeral? And really see if Kidder's crying like he was told to. Think of it. I joke about my cancer. I don't joke about anybody else's cancer. I joke about the poison that I have in me, not anybody else's. And yes, you better believe I'll joke about death, because I will never see it. Neither will any other Christian. Jesus has already taken care of it. Look at John 11:25-26. Jesus says this now to her. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. Physical death, which is the separation of the soul from the body. Catch that. Now, that's my addition in there for you in parentheses. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Spiritual death, which is the separation of the soul from God. Now, breaking that down, we understand that Jesus then asked the question, do you believe this? See, everything with you and I in eternal life, in eternity, or even right now, is focused on what do you believe? Larry, do you believe that God is able? What do you believe? Did not Jesus said, let it be according to how you believe? Let it happen according to your belief. Do I believe and trust in Christ? Or do I believe and trust in technology? Here's what I can tell you about technology. And here's what I can tell you about science. God is the ultimate scientific brain for all of creation. So yes, sure, I believe in science. And as God looks into our heart, folks, we've got to understand he will use any and all different facets of science itself to deliver his people from the hurt and the pain. Isn't it amazing what doctors are doing and have been doing for years? I joke to now all the time about had I known I was going to be breaking so many things within my body, I'd have ordered parts years ago and had them put on layaway waiting. But Christ says, you're not going to need them, Larry. When this body is gone, you and I will have just begun to really see the ultimate love of God. I don't know whether we will ever, I don't think so personally, but I don't know that we will ever totally understand God's love. Even when we're with him, that we can totally understand. But I totally believe that when Jesus says, let it be according to how you believe. Larry, do you believe that I'm going to protect you? Or do you believe those around you that are supposed to be protecting you can? Lord, I know you are the ultimate protector. That's why you told those others to protect me. Think of that. The angels from heaven, God sends, the scripture says, to watch over us. Angels are set to watch over the affairs of man. Angels were sent to protect us. God's secret agents, as Billy Graham wrote in his book. God's secret agents. They're there to watch after us. But do we believe that? When we read, for God so loved the world, it's beautiful. Beautiful words. It's the heart of God. And it sounds great. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Sounds great. I can quote it. But here's the question. Do we believe it? Remember a disciple saying, Lord, I believe. Help me with my unbelief. There will always be the battle going on within our heart because of our human condition. That tug back and forth within our own heart. What do you mean you'll have doubts? I mean, I'll have reflex. The human part does not want to give up the spirit. How many strong Christians have you met? How many others, you will hear them at their deathbed, and the doctors even will say, I have no idea how they're alive. I cannot explain to you why they are still breathing. They should have been dead hours ago. It is a battle of the body, the battle of the physical condition against that which is spiritual. And again, I was thinking about her today, Merloin. I mean, a statement with her, folks, comes to my heart so often. Oh, Brother Larry, I woke up today and I was still here. And John's already gone. It just breaks my heart, she said. Jesus promised you and me. He made us a promise that he'd never leave us nor forsake us. Do we not understand the scripture to know where Christ is, there can be no death? Where Christ is, Satan cannot have the power. Where Christ is, God is. Where Christ and God are, the Holy Spirit is. And Jesus says, Father, and speaking of us, I would, I'll listen to that prayer, I would that where we are, talking about God the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, that these may be with us. Do you really think that a prayer Jesus prayed in such earnestness, period, just pray it, that God the Father would not honor it? And Jesus says later on, my Father has given you to me. And what my Father has given to me cannot be taken away. Everything he did, from every step he took, on that Wednesday, whatever he did, we do know that Mary, Martha, and Lazarus loved Jesus, and Jesus loved them. Jesus was not interested in a healing. He was interested in a resurrection. Oh, he could have went and healed them. He could have spoke. Could he not have just said it? And Lazarus would have been healed? No. He was waiting for the resurrection. Now, boys, learn something. Lord, we can't get over you drug us back through Bethany again. We cannot figure out what you were doing with us as you brought us back. And he yelled, roll away the stone. And then that's when the old English has the statement that all of us get laughing at. But Lord, he's been dead 4 days. Surely he stinketh. They raised, you know, when they moved that stone, the scripture said that he that was dead came forth bound in the death robe, grave cloth. And then he said, loose him and let him go. That's what you and I have been given. Freedom. We have been given the freedom right through this final week of Jesus in flesh and blood. Been given the freedom that we will not have to worry about ever dying and not have to worry about that grave because we're not going to be there. We've been given the freedom to teach, to preach. Can man stop it? No. A bunch of us may die preaching it. But man can't stop it. And if one is dead, multitudes will take the place. For it is what Easter is all about. I don't have to know what went on every day of Jesus' life to believe that he lived his life every day knowing that he would be put to death for you and me. And that's how much love he has for us. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your love and for the peace that only you can give. Strengthen each of us, Father, that we will continue to follow you in all that we do. Help us, Lord, to be the servants you've called us to be to one another. And in our role as servant, we introduce the world to your glory, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We ask this blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.